go on the record. We are on the record. This is case number 3160112 regarding a Tryman exclusion. The excluded party is Murray O. Baud. And this is a continued hearing. We did have two prior hearings that where the party or parties had requested a continuance of the hearing in order to address some information request, some requests that had been made to obtain additional information. And so this is the time and place scheduled for this hearing where we can hopefully wrap up the issues in this particular case. I do note that it is a little bit after 2 p.m. on August 16th, 2016. There are some representatives from TriMet here. If you could represent, state your name and title, that would be wonderful.
Shane Laverne, I'm a rail supervisor.
Steve Shim, journeyman, mechanic.
And it's S-T-E-V-E?
Yes.
And then Shim, S-H-I-M?
M as in Mary, yes.
Okay. And I'm sorry, you said apprentice mechanic?
Oh, no, journeyman mechanic.
Journeyman, sorry. Yeah. Very different. I do note that Mr. Baud is not present in the hearings room, and I'm taking a look at the file to see if Mr. Baud was provided with any notice of today's particular setting of the hearing, and I do see that a notice of hearing, the most recent notice of hearing, was mailed out on August 1st, 2016. It was mailed out to the address provided by Mr. Baud. Additionally, I also see that, let's see here. That this notice of hearing was not returned as undeliverable by the Postal Service. At this time, I will ask the hearings clerk if Mr. Baud has contacted the hearings office.
The appellant has not called the hearings office.
Okay. Due to the fact that the hearing notice is explicit that hearings begin promptly and the date and time is scheduled for today's date at 2 p.m. and those arriving late may lose the opportunity to present their case or to hear other parties' testimony. That's stated explicitly in the hearing notice as well. And the fact that Mr. Baud has appeared at the other prior hearings on time, I do believe that Mr. Baud has been provided with adequate notice of today's hearing and will go ahead and proceed. At this time, I need to admit additional exhibits into the record. So I'm going to admit exhibits 8 through and including 16 into the record, and that should be all of the documents that were submitted by the parties. At this time, I am going to take the testimony of the TriMet representatives, but before I do that, I am going to note that this exclusion was issued for a violation of TriMet Code 2815C, and this also, the exclusion also indicates that the underlying violation that was cited for as having been violated and deemed criminal activity was ORS 166065, harassment. As far as what I have from appellant Mr. Baud, I am going to review that briefly so that the TriMet representatives can speak to that if they have any sort of feedback or comments regarding Mr. Baud and some of the evidence, the statement that he provided. I'm turning now to exhibit number 10. I note that the most of this document is addressing Mr. Baud requesting and having not received the information he was looking for when he requested that tapes of his interaction with himself and the alleged victim be produced by TriMet. I do note that we did receive, I issued a subpoena to TriMet to request the information that Mr. Baud had requested, and in response received a document from TriMet which is marked exhibit number 11. This exhibit states that the subpoena request was received on June 15, 2016. Platform videos were not available. The following was the result of train video pulled in response to the request. It indicates that there were 6 data packs pulled and various car numbers are listed, whereas victim and suspect were not on those particular vehicles that were the recordings were pulled for. Additionally, on car 420, the last recording was from car 417, April 22nd, 2016 at 1:30. The most relevant information on this document states that car 218, it says downloaded 9:02 to 9:16, suspect boards this train and leaves Beaverton Transit Center. Furthermore, the TriMet response states, we do not have video of any interaction between the victim and the suspect. There is no responsive video. The downloaded video was provided to the investigating officer. So with that context, Mr. Baoud's exhibit number 10 is written in response to his dissatisfaction with a lack of video being made available or was available to TriMet. And the most relevant part in this, in addition to expressing his dissatisfaction, where he states that the tapes are, that he was surprised that neither police nor TriMet included these tapes in their reports. He states that it is very important that he obtain these tapes because they reveal facts contradicting the narrative of the girl who accused me of harassing her. Furthermore, Mr. Baoud states, there were very limited seats when I stepped into the MAX and not numerous available seats, as she had said. I also did not board the MAX from Southwest's first stop in downtown Portland. As the MAX reached Beaverton Transit Center, she turned trying to get off the MAX, and I readily stood up and yielded for her. I did not interact with her at all. Beaverton Transit Center was not my last destination, but I stopped to smoke a cigarette. I was coming from work, Sky Chefs, located near the airport. I was doing a night shift, and then it said, I was stressed out because of work and also because of the behavior of that girl. She was the one who interacted with me, as the tapes must show. It makes no sense she claimed she had the courage to physically remove my hand from her leg, to decline to give me her phone number, to ask me to stop more than four times, and to take pictures of me, but she did not have the courage to simply leave her seat to another one or to leave the MAX at the nearest stop. The tapes must show that when I got off the MAX, I waited a few minutes and let the girl go so she would not assume I was following her. I was avoiding her, indeed. I then went to the footbridge, smoked a cigarette, and came back to catch the MAX heading home. That's the extent of what Mr. Baoud has submitted in writing to contest what has been submitted by TriMet. So at this time, I am going to take the testimony of a TriMet representative. Who would like to go first?
I guess I'll go first.
Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give shall be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Steve Shim.
Okay, Mr. Shim. What did you see or hear that night in regards to the interaction that Mr. Baoud had with this particular female?
So the information that I got from her, she showed me a picture that she took with her cell phone with his hand on her thigh, is what I saw. And when I was in my truck, a service truck that I was in, she came, knocked on my door asking for help because she felt she was violated, I believe, and she asked me if I could call the police or help her. So I told her, yes, I'll call the dispatch. That's the first people that we call if anything happens on the TriMet property. And I asked them to, can you have local supervisors come over and help her get things. While before all that happened, she told me she was harassed, and this gentleman started walking down this sidewalk, and she told me that's the man that harassed me. So I was like, oh, really? So I put her over to the side of the truck and stayed with her the whole time, and then he went over the bridge, I believe, and went on the other side of the property. So I was with her, and then suddenly, maybe less than 5 minutes, he came back, told us, so that's when we went around the truck to the other side to make sure he does not see her. So that's when we called the dispatch and all these other people to come and help us. And that's when Rocco supervisor came and all that. But after he went on the MAX and left.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have any questions for your witness?
I do.
Yeah.
Your Honor. What was her state of being at the time?
She was, first time I seen her, she looked a little scared. And I was like, oh, okay, how can I help you? And she goes, oh, someone touched me, and she was scared, so can you help me? And when she started talking, she got more scared, and then suddenly she got really nervous. Because that's when that gentleman walked down the street. Yeah, and then he went over, and then we thought, okay, that gentleman's gone, so I think we should be okay. And that's when he came back again, like 3 minutes later, I guess, yeah. So she was kind of scared. And then when the police came and started giving her statement, she was crying. I mean, like, she was frightened. She couldn't handle what just happened, I guess. She was shaking up and crying, talking to the officer.
And I showed up before that, Your Honor, with Mr. Shim and with the victim. And okay. She showed me the pictures as well. So,
do you have any other questions for him, though?
I don't.
I just want to wrap up his testimony before I get to your testimony and place you under oath. One moment here. I don't think I have any other questions for you. Thank you very much. Okay. Mr. Laverne, I'm going to place you under oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give shall be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is William Shane Laverne. I'm a rail supervisor for TriMet. I was working the day of the event and was on the scene when the victim gave her testimony to me.
Okay. Please explain your observations or what you heard or saw.
I was called through control dispatch by way of Mr. Shim. And they told me that there was a victim at the Beaverton Transit Center on the south side, it'd be the southeast side, which is closest to the walking bridge, which is closest to the mall, and that I needed to go and assess the situation. So I did. I was very close. I went and I spoke with her. She was very shooken up. She was visibly crying. And as she spoke, I mean, you could tell the nervous tension was coming out. She was afraid. She was very afraid. And I believe that something did occur. And she showed me the pictures of the assailant touching her on her thighs. And he met the description of what would later be the arrested man.
Okay.
So I called and asked for police at that point in time. Immediately after she gave me her information, and they showed up quickly after that.
Okay. What I'm doing right now is I'm going to go take a look at the police report that was submitted to see if I have any clarifying questions for either of you.
I have it here if you'd like to take a look at it. Or you can look at your own, I guess.
Yeah. Well, actually, is there anything that you'd like to point my attention to emphasize? I have gone over this.
I mean, everything that I heard from her is on the police report. It seems to be accurate. There wasn't any differentiation in the story. You know, and I believed at the time that she feared for her safety. And that what she said happened, it happened. I deal with a lot of people, as do many of us, and it seemed that she was very clear about what had happened to her, and that it did happen.
Okay.
So I believed.
Can you speak to the issue of the existence or lack of these tapes that Mr. Baoud was requesting?
Well, I'm not the one who pulls the tapes, but the camera angles on the LRVs, and it depends on whether you're on a 1-2. It depends on where the cameras are, by what kind of car you're on. Mostly, if they're on a Type 2, which is a 200 level. And I believe you said it was 218 in there?
Mm-hmm.
218, those face, there's operator doors on each end of those, and they're really, from the first one or two rows, you can really only see, like, the third row back. So if they sit up in the upper levels, you may not be able to see any interaction. But there are other cameras, but they're lower because you go on the upper deck. So the lower cameras may not catch anything if you're actually in the seat sitting. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I would note that if you are able to see any video, and I saw that they said we do not have any video of the interaction between the victim and the suspect, but they should have video of how many people were on the train. So you can see whether that there's an accurate representation of what she said, that there were a lot of empty seats. So that's something that I might point out. That's something that stuck out to me.
Okay.
And she told me at the time, here's one more thing I think that is pertinent. She told me at the time that she was afraid to get out of the seat because she didn't know what would happen.
Okay, anything further?
No, ma'am.
Okay, then. What I want to do is go over the relevant parts of this police report that provide some additional pieces to the story and describe what happened. So this is a police report which is marked as Exhibit Number 3, written by Officer Daniel Colson. It states that Officer Colson reported to a man touching the victim on the MAX train. When I arrived at the Beaverton Transit Center, victim was on the northeast end of the complex near a very large TriMet maintenance truck. I approached victim and introduced myself and immediately saw that her eyes were red and watery, and it appeared that she was on the verge of crying. I could see that her hands were shaking throughout my contact with her. It was obvious what had occurred on the train scared her. Victim told me the following. She had gotten on the westbound MAX train at the 42nd Street platform and sat down. Around the southwest first stop in downtown Portland, a man, Mare Baoud, boarded the train and sat next to her, which she thought was odd because there were numerous open seats on the train, and he chose to sit next to her. As the train entered the tunnel, the victim noticed that Mare started rubbing the outside of her leg with his hand, which made her uncomfortable, so she moved her leg away from him. From the tunnel, victim said Mare started rubbing her upper thigh on top of her leg, and she told him to stop no less than 4 times, but he didn't stop. Mare asked victim 3 times for her phone number, which she refused to give him. The victim had to physically remove Mare's hand from her leg to get him to stop rubbing her thigh because he did not stop when she told him multiple times. After victim removed his hand, Mare asked her again for her phone number. Victim was scared of Mare and got off the train at the Beaverton Transit Center, where Mare got off too. Victim felt Mare was following her, so she found a TriMet maintenance employee, Steve Shim, who she contacted to keep her safe from Mare and to report the incident. Okay, the following details what occurred after the victim got off the MAX at the Beaverton Transit Center and contacted Shim, who was able to block off Mariah's view of the victim for a short time by having her stand near the large truck. It indicates that they used the truck to shield Mr. Baoud from viewing the victim. Additionally, this police report says that the victim believed Mariah was trying to find her after he appeared to follow her off the MAX train. Victim took several photos of Mariah touching her leg and of Mr. Baoud's face to help ID him. The officer contacted Mare at the station and advised him of his rights and stated he understood. Mare stated he and the victim had a chemical connection and she never told him to stop touching her. He said she was touching him too with her arm on the side of his arm and his thigh as they sat next to each other on the train. When I asked Mare if victim told him to stop touching her, he said she didn't. When asked if he touched the victim's leg, he then stated he would like to consult with a lawyer. Okay. Relevant TriMet code is the following. TriMet code 2815C states that no person shall engage in criminal activity while aboard a TriMet vehicle or TriMet property. Furthermore, Mr. Bode was given the exclusion for a violation of ORS 166065, which is the harassment criminal statute, and states that a person commits the crime of harassment if the person intentionally harasses or annoys another person by subjecting such other person to offensive physical contact. In this case, I find that although TriMet has not been able to produce video of the interaction between Mr. Baoud and the victim, I do find the TriMet representative's oral testimony as well as the police report indicating the victim's statements more credible than the statements provided by Mr. Baoud, specifically in his written letter. I find that on the whole, there is quite a bit of information that is consistent with the testimony that has been given today. For instance, what was referenced in the police report is consistent with the oral testimony that I heard from Mr. Shim and Mr. Rail Supervisor Laverne. Additionally, I find that Mr. Baoud, on the date in question, which I want to make sure to get this date correct, on May 27, 2016, Mr. Baoud boarded a train, sat next to a female, and intentionally harassed this particular female, who I will refer to as the victim, by subjecting this female to offensive physical contact. I find that Mr. Baoud had touched the victim's thigh on more than one occasion, and despite the victim asking Mr. Baoud to stop no less than four times, Mr. Baoud refused to stop, indicating intentional conduct, intentionally conducted to harass the victim. Furthermore, I find that the victim had to physically remove Mr. Baoud's leg from Mr. Baoud's hand from her leg to get him to stop, and that Mr. Baoud asking her repeatedly for her number, in addition to putting his hand on her thigh despite her telling him to stop, also supports that Mr. Baoud acted intentionally to harass the victim. There is substantial evidence in the record that it is more probable than not that Mr. Baoud committed the crime of harassment, and therefore I find that it is more probable than not that a violation of TriMet Code 2815 did occur. Therefore, the exclusion is valid. It is a 60-day exclusion, and now I'm going to ask if you have a position on whether or not a qualified exclusion should be issued if Mr. Baoud writes to the hearings office requesting one.
No, Your Honor. I think that it should stand.
Okay. So if he does write to the hearings office indicating, for instance, he depends on TriMet for work, or specifically for trips of necessity, is your position that you would request that a hearings officer deny that?
That is my position. I believe that he's a danger to our passengers, Your Honor.
Okay.
And that he should not ride.
Okay, at this time, I am inclined to agree with Mr. Laverne. TriMet Code 28.18K states that, in general, a hearings officer can allow a person to ride TriMet if the person's transit dependent or disabled. However, a qualified exclusion may not be granted in the case where a hearings officer finds that the person engaged in violent, seriously disruptive, or criminal conduct, or in conduct posing a serious threat to the safety of others or to the operation of the transit system. At this time, I do find, based upon the evidence before me, that Mr. Baoud did engage in criminal conduct and conduct posing a serious threat to another person. In this case, I make that finding in part because of the repeated request from the victim to have Mr. Baoud stop touching her thigh, as well as the continuing badgering of the particular victim in this case. Additionally, I do find that this his conduct posed a serious threat to the safety of the victim because the victim, based upon witness reports, was visibly shaken up and upset because of this incident of Mr. Baoud continually conducting himself in a way that to harass the particular victim. Therefore, I do find that that particular standard in TriMet Code 2818 has been, there is enough evidence to find that that standard has been satisfied. Therefore, I will not issue a qualified exclusion on that basis. So this exclusion is a 60-day exclusion, and it is effective Friday, August 26th. The hearing is now closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.